Amen. He is good. He is good. Give him some praise this morning. And man, thank you, praise band, for reminding us of the great love of God. Thank you for being here with us at Life Community Church. We're glad you're here. Take your bulletin, your program out. Open that up. You'll see in there your sermon notes for today and your connection card. And take out your connection card. Make sure you fill that out and you drop that in the offering plate towards the end of the service. And you can have your sermon notes to follow along. We're going to be kind of all over the Bible today. I like to stay zeroed in on a text, but sometimes it leans to kind of take a big scope of things, and today's a big scope kind of day. So you take your sermon notes out, your Bible out, and we are currently in the process of talking about building a marriage and what that means and what God is doing. We've talked about how God has a blueprint for our marriage that we need to follow. And last week we talked about how there's demolition that needs to happen, some things we need to get rid of. But when you have the blueprints and then you have the demolition done, it's now time for what? It's time for the construction. It's time to get the thing done, to start building that process. You've heard me say this before, but when I was in college, I was involved in a construction ministry. And I learned two things. I learned, one, that I love ministry, and two, that I don't love construction. That's what I learned in serving in that ministry. But it was a great opportunity. I had a ball with it. I got to learn a little bit of stuff. Got to jackhammer. I mean, how often in your life do you get to play with a jackhammer? And I got to do that. It was the coolest experience. I had blisters on my hands, and it hurt really bad. The end, okay? And that's what I remember about jackhammering. So for those of you all that have done that, more power to you, okay? But I learned that was not really my cup of tea. But it was cool. We got to do this this project for a lady and got to build a house from the ground up. I learned a lot. I got so many illustrations about that. But we got to build that house kind of like Habitat for Humanity. We got to build a home, but it was through this program. And we built this house. And I'll never forget when we turned the keys over to that lady. And for those of you all that's been involved in Habitat homes, you know how amazing of an experience that is. When you turn those keys over to a family that is in need, they are so grateful. I mean, so, so grateful, you know, that a home has been built, been erected, you know, for them. And you know, and especially in that situation, in the name of Jesus, it was just so wonderful. And I remember the home that I had the opportunity to work on, we gave it to a lady by the name of Kim. And, I mean, Kim was so thankful. Her father was out there working with us. Her mother was out there working with us. Her children was out there working with us. And when we were able to turn the keys over to Kim, she was so blessed by that. I mean, she was just so grateful. And you know, we did that my freshman year of college, and it would be the next 3 years of college. I would sometimes drive through that neighborhood just to see how the house looked, you know, and it was always well kept and looked good, and they did such a good job with it. And you know, Kim was grateful for that house. And the reality is, whenever there is a gift that is given to us, I mean, something that some blood, sweat, and tears went into, and the person knows that blood, sweat, and tears went into that, you know what? Normally, for the most part, people are usually grateful for that. They're thankful if somebody has given them something that is incredible. And you know, I think about this illustration of building. We've been using that kind of as a theme for this marriage series. But you know, in many ways, marriage is a gift. And marriage is a construction project. And it is something that has been built and that is being built that we should totally appreciate and totally respect. In the book of Proverbs, it says this about marriage in chapter 18, verse 22. It says, "A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Men, is there anybody in here today that would agree with that? That said, boy, when I found my wife, I married up today. Anybody at all? Yeah, let me put up two hands for me. And yeah, I had to. Tina's shaking Greg's hand. Yeah, he married up big time, didn't he? She knows. And we say, hey, you know, my wife, I'll say this, my wife was a gift from God. I know that my wife was a gift from God. I love my wife. I love her a lot. I told her today, I told her last night, I said, Taryn, I'm going to be talking a whole lot about you today. She said, well, what are you going to say? I said, you just got to wait and see, you know. I said, but I love her a lot. And I know that she was a gift that God gave me. Now, let me reverse that. I think this verse is also applicable to the ladies to say that when we find any type of marriage, that your husband is also a gift from God too. Sometimes you might question God's gift to you, but he's definitely a gift of God to you. And the wife is a gift of God to the husband. And you know, with anything, we need to appreciate these gifts. Now, here's the question. When God blessed me with a wonderful wife, what if I would have taken that gift and never spent any more time or energy or effort on my wife? I get married, and then now I just start treating her with disrespect. I start devaluing her. I never spend time with her. I never show her that I love. Would I be honoring God's gift? No, I would not. I would actually be probably taking God's gift and doing something awful with it. And that's just not good. You know, if you never build upon that gift, you're not really appreciating that gift. My wife is a great gift of God for me. Now, for some of you all today, well, I think for all of us, we could all say that our marriages could be better. Would everybody agree with me on that? They all could be better. Every one of us could have a better marriage today. Every single one of us could do that. We really, really could. But the question is, are we taking the great gift of marriage and appreciating it? Are we taking the great gift of marriage that God's given to us and building upon that wonderful gift of marriage? Or are we just kind of saying, hey, that's a good gift from God, but let me put it over here on the shelf and let it collect dust and just pick it up whenever I want to? No, we need to appreciate the gift of marriage. If we don't learn how to build upon the gift that God's given us, one day we're going to wake up and here's the sad reality, that gift may not be there. That gift may not be there next to you. That is a hard truth and a real truth, but hopefully a truth that you won't have to experience if you learn how to appreciate and build upon what God has given you. So I begin to ask myself, what does this inspection need to be? If we're doing these different marriage inspections in building a marriage, what would this inspection need to be? And here it is. I believe this. I believe that if we really desire to build a healthy marriage, we need to construct marriage with Christian character. We need to construct marriage with Christian character. Here's the deal. Jesus tells us in the Bible, the New Testament tells us a whole lot about how we're supposed to treat people. Would you agree with me on that? Why should we treat complete strangers better than we treat our spouse? So if God tells us to treat strangers in such a way, wouldn't it be applicable to say that we should treat our wife or our husband at least the same way as God wants us to treat other people? But sadly, we find ourselves treating other people better than how we treat our spouse. So I say that however God tells us to love people, we should definitely apply that at the very basic level of how we love our spouse. So I want us today to look at how we can construct or build up a marriage, not tear down, but to build up a Christian marriage with Christ-like character. So here you go. How can my marriage, there's your blank, how can my marriage be constructed with Christian character? How can I build into my marriage Christian character and how I treat my spouse? Again, this series is not just for married people. It's for people that's been through a divorce, for people that are single, for people that are getting married, etc. So here's the deal. If you hear this today as a single person or a divorced person coming out of marriage or being involved in a divorce, hear what I'm getting ready to say. Is that these are principles that we all need to apply into our life. And if God blesses you with another marriage, you need these things personally built into your spirit before entering into marriage. Okay? Y'all good today? All right? Y'all ready to get some work done? Ready to get your hands dirty? You got your tool belt? Now, wives, if you're here with your husband, I want you to look at him, and I want you to repeat after me. You ready? Honey, take notes. You ready? Going to be a little hard on the men today. Somebody said you were hard on the men last week. I know. It's part of it, all right? It's part of it. Let's look at constructing a Christian marriage today. Building it up. How do we do that? First, we see this. That my marriage is constructed when I give my spouse acceptance. Now remember, we're going to talk awful lot about what the Bible says, how we're to treat other people. So at the basic level, we should at least treat our spouses like this. In the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 7, Paul says this, the writer of that book. Therefore, accept one another, just as the Messiah or Jesus also accepted you to the glory of God. In the first century church, they had Christians that were from a Jewish background, and some was from a non-Jewish background. Sometimes they had a problem being together, liking each other. And Paul would say, you know what? Y'all just need to get over your differences. Know that Jesus is the Lord and celebrate God. Now, we apply that to marriage. Do you ever feel like your spouse is different than you? Yes or no? Isn't it funny? Early risers marry people that like to hibernate till noon, right? An extravagant spender marries who? A tightwad. A person who is so punctual, always on time, marries a person that's never even heard of a clock. That's how it works. A down-to-earth person marries a space cadet, do they not? Now, doesn't God have a sense of humor? Doesn't he? Why do you think the Lord does that? Why do you think he pulls people together? Really, opposites do attract. But I think part of it is this, is that you at one time were infatuated with this person's differences. You saw in that person something that you weren't, and that attracted you. Now, after a few years of marriage, you're no longer infatuated by that. You're annoyed by that, is what happens. You know, you thought, man, that was so unique. They are such a creative person. They are such a free spirit. Now you just want to kill them. Am I right about that? You know, that's what happens. But yet in reality, God does that for a reason. One of the best gifts that me and Taryn ever had given to us was when we got married, we had a group of pastors that paid for us to go to a licensed Christian therapist to do premarital counseling, like a big shebang. And, you know, I tell people this all the time. I'll never marry somebody without premarital counseling, ever. You know, so if you want me to perform your service, you've got to give me months and months in advance. That's the way it works with me. Not going to do it because I'm a believer in premarital counseling. I'm a believer in it. And when we took that survey, that inventory, man, I was far over here on the extrovert side. Taryn was on the introverted side. And when he looked at those, he said, you know, Kenny, you're on the extrovert, she's an introvert, you all, and we said, oh man, is that going to be compatible? He said, absolutely. He said, this is what God does. He said, the reason God puts people together, it makes perfect sense, is that it pulls you closer to each other. The extrovert becomes more introverted, and the introverted becomes more extroverted, and that's what happens. You complement each other. I thought it was the neatest thing. So if you all think that I'm extroverted now, you should have saw me about 8 years ago. I was bouncing off the walls. Ask Taryn. I've calmed down a lot in 8 years. I have. It's hard to believe, Michael Funk, but it is the truth. Taryn will tell you, won't she? I've calmed down a whole lot. But see, we have to learn that when we get married to each other, we're marrying a different person. But yet, biblically, two become what? Two become one. Now, their differences may not change overnight, and the reality is they're probably not going to change overnight. But you have to learn to accept them as they are. If you go into marriage wanting to change somebody, it ain't going to happen. Well, I'm dating him because he needs Jesus, Kenny. He needs Jesus. And I'm going to be an evangelistic dater. You are also ignorant. God bless you. That is dumb, okay? Here's the deal. When we can't go into a marriage trying to change somebody. It ain't going to happen. But here's what we can do. We accept them as the gift that God's given us. Okay? Three things if you're taking notes. Stop judging them. Stop judging. Stop nagging them. And then praise God for differences. Praise God that person likes to go out and do something. If not, you'd be in the house all day, every day. Praise the Lord that person likes to calm down and relax, or you never have any time with your family or never any good quality time. Praise God for this. As God is building that together. If they've got some weird, quirky hobby, try to find the best in it, okay? Make room in the garage or somewhere, okay? Try to accept them and rejoice in that. Two, if we're constructing a marriage, we need to do this. Understand this. My marriage is constructed when I give my spouse attention. Attention. 1 Peter 1:22, Peter writes this, by obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We're to love and show love to each other. I think of the many definitions and the multifaceted view of love and how deep love is. But at the bare surface, or at the surface of love, no question, love is at least showing attention to somebody. Love is spending time with a person. Love is giving thoughtfulness to somebody. How do you love somebody if you never show them time? How do you do that? We all thrive for attention. We have little kids in our house. And for those of you all that used to have little kids in your house, you remember this. Daddy, 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 watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. Okay, I'm watching. Well, keep watching. Watch me, watch me, watch me. And we love attention. We want attention. We come out of the womb crying for what? Attention. And then, see, this is no problem in dating. It's no problem. You give all the attention in dating. I mean, you know, you there, you calling. Hey, honey, is something wrong? Why is that? You've not called me in 10 minutes. Is something wrong? I mean, you show all this attention, but yet when we get married, we stop giving attention to that spouse. We don't care how their day was anymore. We don't sit in the same room with them. And if we do, we're on our phones, completely absorbed in our own little social media world. We don't know how to deal with people. We don't know how to do that. We are so distant, as we talked about last week. We stopped giving attention. What would happen, construction people in this room, and there's some of you all in this room, what would happen on a job site if all your workers stopped paying attention to what they were doing? The job would be collapsing. People could be hurt, killed in some situations. We stop giving our spouse attention. You know what? You can absolutely kill your marriage. If you stop giving, and listen, if you got little kids in the house, this becomes hard. Because they are doing what? Watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. This is difficult. Because all your attention can be on your children. Very, very important. I mean, you don't want little Johnny sticking a fork in an electrical socket and frying himself. All right? This is good. This is good. But at the same time, you can't just zero in everything on your kids. Do you know why? Because one day your kids are going to grow up. And they're going to leave the house. And what was holding you together is now going to be gone. Really. You've got to have something deeper than just your children. Well, that's hard. That's a tough word. Some of you all that are going through empty nesters, man, you're having a field day because you love your spouse. You're getting to go places without buying 100 meals for people, you know. Praise God for that, you know. Quick, take notes. How do you show attention? Really quick. Date your spouse. Date them. Men, clean your car up. Open the door for them. Well, Kenny, we've been married 30 years. We're over that. Well, get back into it. It never hurts you, men, even if you've been married for a long time, to show a little TLC to your wife. Can I tell you something? They still like nice stuff. And if you've looked in the mirror lately, you didn't age well. So the least you can do, men, is be a little respectful to her on a date. Amen, ladies? Date your spouse. Talk to your spouse. You ready for this? Pray and read the Word of God with your spouse. Men, be the spiritual leader in your home. Set the tone for the Spirit of God to be in your home where you're studying and reading the Word of God together. Build your marriage upon those principles. Third, marriage is constructed when I adjust for my spouse. When I adjust for my spouse. Ephesians 5:21, the Bible tells us about relationships, all different kinds of relationships, from married to working and everything. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. That verse is right before a passage that gets so much flack in the Bible about wives submit to husbands and husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. And here's the reality. Is the wife supposed to submit to the husband? Yes. That's very true. Is the husband to be the spiritual leader of the house? Yes, that is true. They are. But yet we also see that before that's even said is that there is a mutual submission that happens to everybody. See, here's the deal, wives that don't like that submit part. You forget that the command of the husband is to love their wives like Christ loved the church, which means what? That they are to die for their wife. I mean, literally lay their blood out for him, for her. So the reality is that any lady that has a problem with this doesn't understand the great responsibility that the husband is to bleed for his wife. And you know what that means when you talk about mutual submission? Here's what that means. That means that the husband is supposed to go out of his way to put aside his, even his needs. For whose needs? Her needs. That's a great challenge for men in this room. Amen, guys? That's part of it. Big, big deal. But with this, construction involves us adjusting to make things right. And this is normal in a house. What if the house gets off level? You do what it takes to level it. What if you ordered the wrong size windows? You send them back and you get the right kind in. It's no problem adjusting and dating. You spend hours cleaning your car. You sacrifice all your money. You used to spend all your minutes on your phone. Now you'll pay overpriced tickets for the opera. You get married, it's a red box and microwave popcorn. You know? And it's a red box the guy wants to watch. Marriage requires selflessness and maturity. Dating back to the 70s, there's been all these reports and studies done about what keeps a marriage together and what makes a marriage divorce. In almost every one of those studies, those yearly studies, they've discovered that immaturity is one of the biggest reasons for divorce. Sexual immorality is number one. Immaturity is like number two or three. In a 2014, the last time it was done, the New York Post reported that that's still one of the top reasons for divorce. Immaturity. Can I tell you why? Because boys get married and boys don't grow up. Boys like toys. They just change over time. From G.I. Joe to expensive stuff that they're racking up debt on. And it puts them in a financial hole. Men, I love you, but marriage is a big boy game. And with that being said, it's time to act like a big boy. Grow up. Grow up. It's important. Marriage ain't for little boys. It's for men. Grow up. How are you adjusting to your spouse now? Have you done something that they like? I mean, this goes for the ladies too. Have you sat through a monster truck rally recently? Maybe you should. Are you men? Are you pulling the weight with the kids in the house? With the dishes and the chores? Are you being selfish? Wife, little Johnny has messed himself. Can you change him? No, you change him. You need spiritual maturity. You need maturity in your marriage. Next. Let's go quick. Next. My marriage is constructed when I grant amnesty to my spouse. The Bible tells us about this with people, accepting one another, and notice this, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. We as Christians are to be a forgiving people because we've experienced the cross of Jesus. Christ died for us, gave us mercy, gave us grace, forgiveness. Therefore, when people hurt us or harm us, we are to forgive them. Now, quick question. Some of you all may have the perfect spouse in this room. I'm pretty sure that's true, right? Somebody in here has the perfect spouse. You have a spouse that always accepts responsibility, right? You have a spouse that's always cleaning up their mess. You have a spouse that's always listening to you, correct? You have a spouse that that's always thinking of you more than themselves. So real quick, if that is your spouse, would you quickly raise your hand and say, yeah, that's my... Oh, really? Yeah. So all the men. Good answer, men. There you go. Good answer. But here's the deal. You ready? Nobody in here has the perfect spouse. And can I tell you something else? None of y'all perfect spouses either. None of you all are perfect spouses either. Every one of us have got problems, issues, we've got troubles, we've got all kinds of stuff. Now, what happens when our spouse hurts us? Because will they? Yes, they will. You have two options when your spouse hurts you. You can either resent them for that and let that turn into bitterness that will kill your marriage. Or two, you can release that and grant amnesty or forgiveness. Now, let me just be really careful, because I don't want to go into a realm that some may go into. I am not advocating, and let me read my notes here so I say this exactly how I want to. I'm not advocating that you let your spouse beat you or verbally abuse you or continually cheat on you. I'm not advocating that. I'm not advocating for you to sit there and let some dude deck you in the face over and over and over. I'm not advocating that. I think in those type of situations that you have to look out for safety and you've got to do the wise thing. But here's what I am saying. Some of you all have that happen to you a long, long time ago and you are still bitter over that and you're still letting that affect current relationships, and you are going to have to release that in the name of Jesus to go forward. To go forward. Now, with that being said, the petty things in life. Well, he didn't take the trash out. He's just a slob. You need to grant some grace there. Amen? Because I'm sure he could look at you and find a couple things wrong too. Really, right? We've got to grant some grace. And if Jesus Christ has forgiven us and we're to forgive others, we've got to have relationships where they will mess up, and we know that. We know that they'll mess up, but we've got to give some grace. Again, I'm not advocating that you sit there and let somebody beat you in the face. I am not advocating that. But I'm saying that grace and forgiveness and mercy has to be the basis of our relationships. Real quick question. Have you ever needed forgiveness from your spouse? Yeah, I thought so. Next, look at this. My marriage is constructed when I appreciate my spouse. It says this in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you're already doing. You know, one of the things that I love to do, I love to take this verse and apply this. I've seen so much negativity in the church of people being negative and bah humbug, and you ask them how they're doing, oh, life stinks, blah, 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 blah. And I just think creating an environment where we can encourage each other in the name of Jesus is such a good thing. Actually, it's biblical to encourage each other. I have bad days, you have bad days, and you know what? When we come into the house of God to worship each other, you know what we should do? We should honestly encourage each other. And you know what? I hope I'm not speaking this in vain, but I feel like Life Community Church is an encouraging place. I feel that way. Now, it doesn't mean we compromise the truth of the gospel or we water the gospel down. I think that is such a myth that you can't preach God's word and God's truth and still encourage people. Actually, God's word should always lead us to encouragement. Always. I don't think you have to just discourage people. Will there be times of rebuke? Absolutely. Will there be times when you talk about hard stuff? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, the Bible tells us to encourage each other. So you know what? If we're to encourage each other in the church, should we not encourage each other in our marriages? Absolutely. You know what happens if you add value to your house? The what? The price goes up. It goes up. And you want to know something? If you add value to your wife, you know what happens? The price doesn't go up, but your marriage goes up. If you start telling them that you actually like them and you like stuff about them, can I tell you what's going to happen? Your time together is going to get better. Your conversation is going to get better. Your sex life is going to get better. If you just tell people you like them. Now, this is not rocket science. We don't do that. We nag, we fuss, we fight. You must understand the power of praise in a marriage. You must. You must. You've got to compliment your spouse on silly things. Honey, you have the best looking monster truck I've ever seen in the town. Baby, that deer you killed was awesome. It is awesome. And you look at her and you say, honey, I love it when you watch HGTV. I just love it. baby, the way you organize that pantry is awesome. It's looking good. You know, tell them this stuff. It makes the value of your marriage go up. And here's the reality. If they're still with you, can I just tell you the truth? They've stuck with you. They didn't walk out on you. And you want to know something? That's something you should be thankful for. And you want to know something else? You need to appreciate their effort dealing with you. I know how hard I am to deal with. I've got quirks and ticks that you don't even know about. I'm serious, I do. Stuff you all don't even know about. That I deal with. You don't even know about. My wife does. You don't know them. She's my best friend. And she loves me in spite of those things. Does Taryn have any quirks? No, she's good. She's good. See, I'm all about transparency, but I'm not ignorant. A marriage is constructed when we learn how to appreciate each other. Now listen, let's review this, can we? How we need to construct marriages: acceptance, attention, adjustment, amnesty, appreciation. You know, you're at a Southern Baptist church when all the points line up with the same letter, you know. Acceptance, attention, adjustment, amnesty, appreciation. Look at that list. What are you doing good with right now? What are you doing bad with? I believe when we construct our marriages with Christian character, God can do some great things. You know, we live in the Heartlands, and I take Gracie to school every morning on the school day, and we've been passing by the new Meyer building. And it's been cool seeing that go from just grass and leveling that and seeing all that go up. And now the sign's up there, and it's glowing, and it's going to be really neat. And it's just been neat. Me and Gracie talk about it every morning when we drive by. Oh, Daddy, look, that's up now. Or I'll say, Gracie, look at that. That's up now. And we just see all this going in. Man, those people have put in a lot of time and a lot of effort. I don't know if this is true or not, but Michael said that, and I'm putting this on Michael, that a Starbucks may go up there. If that's the case, I'll never leave my neighborhood. You know, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. But it's taken all this work, all this time, all this effort. Marriage is so much more important. The singles, you need to lay a good foundation before you jump into that. Amen, guys? You need to lay that foundation. But those that are in marriage, how are you building your marriage? I'll say this, is that at the cornerstone of good marriage, and I'm not saying that people that don't know the Lord can't have good marriage. They can. But I think a person that applies Jesus in their life and has Christ in their life and utilizes the principles of the Bible will have a better marriage. A better marriage. And I believe that the Spirit of God in their life can do this. But it involves us committing our lives to Jesus. If today you've never known that Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross and suffered the wrath of God for our sins, for whosoever that would believe in him, you're missing out today, and you need the love of God in your life. You need Jesus in your life. But for those that know Christ, oh, how you need the principles of Christianity in your marriage to undergird your marriage, to strengthen it up. I'm going to ask Taryn to come play softly. We're going to do something a little bit different today, a little bit different. The band will come later, and you'll figure out, man. You'll know when it's time to come. But I want everybody out here for this part. Because some bandmates are here with their spouse and they need to be with their spouse right now. I believe this, that we need Jesus at the center of all of us, our core, our marriage and everything. And you know, that is spiritual. That is 100% spiritual. So we cannot address that in some sort of psychological, psychoanalytical way. This is a spiritual time. I'm going to lead three prayers today. And Jerry, you can cut the lights out to help us focus and be meditative today. But I'm going to lead us in three prayers of commitment today. Three prayers. One is going to be for the person that's never given their life to Jesus. Because at the cornerstone of everything is Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ today, you are missing out on everything. The second prayer will be a prayer of commitment to the single. of dedicating their life to Jesus, to find the right spouse, to be patient, to let God put that together. And the third prayer will be a prayer of commitment to those that are married, that they'll commit their marriage to Jesus. A little different, but this is how the Lord has impressed on my heart we should do this today. So first, with just heads bowed and eyes closed, let's talk to those that don't know Christ. If you were to die tonight, do you know that you know that you know you're going to heaven? Have you accepted the great love of God? Maybe today you've never done that. You've never accepted Jesus, but you're ready for Christ to come into your life. Maybe the lost person or the person that's not a follower of Christ would be ready to open up their heart and say, Kenny, I'm ready to make that decision. I want you to pray with me. Make these your own words, not just a chant, but from your heart. Are you ready? Dear God, I am a sinner. I need Christ in my life. I'm not trusting in religion. I'm not trusting in my family. I'm not trusting in my deeds. But I'm trusting in Jesus, who died for me. I believe he rose again. Come into my life and save me. Maybe some of you all today did that, and with head still bowed and eyes still closed. I don't embarrass people. That's not what I do. But today you'd say, Kenny, I prayed that for the very first time, and I believe Jesus came into my heart. Would you just raise your hand to let me know that? Let God know that? I pray to receive Christ today. Anybody at all? Okay. Those that are single in the room right now, I want to lead you in a prayer of purity, that you would be pure before God, that you wouldn't sleep around or mess around until you get married, that you'll be pure, that you'll save yourself for your spouse, and that you would live for the Lord and just patiently wait. I'm just going to lead a prayer as if I was a single person praying it. And I want you to pray this. Dear God, I'm single, and that often leads to loneliness. Help me in my loneliness. Be my comfort in my loneliness. Lord, help me to be pure, not to give myself away until marriage. Give me grace for the mistakes I've made. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. For the married couples, if you're here today and you're married, and your spouse may be in this room, they may not. If they are, I would ask you to do this, is to take both of your hands together and place them together, both hands interlocking together. Both hands. And I want you to pray this with me. Dear God, we're sinners. We don't always do the right thing. Give our marriage grace and help us be committed in the name of Jesus. Men, pray this. Make me into a godly spiritual leader. Make me into a spiritual leader, God, of my house. Ladies, pray this. Help me to love my husband and to follow him in his leadership. Give us grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Look right here. Band, I'm sorry. You practiced, but God is telling me to do this. He's telling me to do this. Taryn's going to sing, and I just feel that after how we've prayed, if you need to make a decision, come and ask Jesus. Deacons, I don't even want you to come up here today. Y'all got brides with you today. You need to be with them today, okay? Be with your spouse. But I want us today to worship God, to just worship God. If we're married, with our spouse. If they're not here, we ask God to bless them wherever they are. If we're single, we just dedicate our lives to God, that He'll be our enjoyment. He'll be our desire. Not a man, not a woman, but He'll be that. Maybe husbands and wives need to come and pray. And I know it's late, but I just feel so impressed of the Lord to do this. So let's worship God together. Come on, stand. Taryn, you just sing, just with the piano.
This is my revelation, Christ Jesus crucified.